Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
Your point of view creates your reality. Reality does not create your point of view. So if you can change your point of view about something, if you get over the stress around something and you notice it shows up differently. So if you can change your point of view, you can change your reality. And then the other thing to really embrace is that what's true for us makes us feel lighter. A lie always makes us feel heavier. And the difficulty is we live in a world where we think the thing that we need to focus the most energy on is the thing that's the heaviest. But instead, if we would focus on the things that are the lightest, deal with the heavy if we have to change it, change our perspective, so the lie in it goes away, then we've got a totally different way of functioning, because the more lightness you choose over time, the lighter your life gets.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very exclusive treat. He's a best-selling author, dynamic entrepreneur, co-founder of Excess Consciousness, globally renowned speaker, and a multifaceted facilitator, just to name a few. He has a completely different approach to healing by facilitating people to tap into and recognize their own abilities and knowing, always reminding them that they don't have to look outside of themselves for what it is they are seeking. Big facts. He's not just an author, he's a thought leader who has written on diverse topics from relationships to money, consciousness to personal development, even creating a series of children's books. His mission is clear: to empower individuals from all walks of life to create the money, relationships, and lives they truly desire. He's just a juggernaut in all facets of life, an extraordinary human being. Please welcome the radiant, transformative, and abundant, the handsome and authentic, the outrageous, Dr. Dane here. How you doing, Dr. Dane?
Dude, with an intro like that, I'm great. I'm putting that baby on a loop and listening to it.
Oh my God. I'm so glad I did good by you. It's your story. You wrote it. I just said it, but I put a lot of effort in. So I'm really happy that I did good by you.
Gratefully received, my friend. Thank you. Yeah. You know, and you never know what's going to just brighten up your day by a surprise, as this has. So thank you.
And we just get warmed up. Imagine that.
Right? Exactly. Barely getting started, baby.
That's it. We want to set the tone. Our audience knows we're about 6 million now. This is not the first time we collaborated. We had you on our weekly show, Melton on the Paradigm Shift, a couple weeks back. It was awesome. And we knew you wanted to go deeper. So for our community, our audience, in case you weren't familiar, I imagine you are, my best suggestion is to do a deep dive, play catch up, check out all the unbelievable things he has going on, his books, everything. What I think is most valuable today is we just dive in and have an unbelievable conversation. Before we dive in, we're going to get a little weird. You ready for me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Dr. Dane, when you wake up, for you personally, what are some non-negotiables for you?
Goodness, so many things. One of the biggest things is I used to wake up with that litany of judgment. And now if I ever notice that, I just stop it. I'm like, no, you know, my life is too valuable. And then the other is to, and I ask this question every day, where do I need to put my energy today to create the future I desire? You know, some version of that, which is looking from that place of question rather than conclusion, because, you know, if you have, all of us have our to-do list, and, you know, a lot of times we let that dominate our lives, but, you know, there's important and then, well, however you want to put it, but there's important and then there's urgent, and we tend to get stuck on the urgent. And what that does, it keeps us focused on the problem and the problem right in front of us. Focusing on a problem will always give you more problems. Focusing right in front of you will always give you more problems to solve. And you don't get this space that occurs when you actually just allow your awareness to go out further into the future. Because, you know, and you see most people, I mean, look at the world we live in. Most people are fearful of the future rather than waking up going, dude, what future can I create today?
I mean, I'm laughing because I just love you. And right away, a relatively simple question like non-negotiable turns into a whole mastery and just nuggets galore. And I want to stay there for a second. And it's interesting because I couldn't agree more, specifically with fear and ego and the opponent that we're all dealing with. But you mentioned, what are we creating? And manifestation is thrown around a lot these days. And a lot of people say, is it real? And here's what I would say, and I'm curious if you agree. We're co-creating or co-signing our life one way or the other. Everything happens twice versus a thought, and then it comes to fruition. So whether we're gaining positive or negative momentum, we're creating it first inside. So why not be intentional with it? Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And it's exactly that. And I want to also say, you know, I'll say this. And one of the mistakes I used to make many years ago, I've been doing this for 24 years now. And what I found is that within it is the tools to actualize what you desire. And so there's manifest, which is the actual meaning of manifest is how something shows up. So what I talk about is actualize, which is that it shows up, meaning, okay, I'd like to actualize, you know, different money situation. Okay. Meaning I change it so it shows up differently. But I want to make the caveat here. We can say these things and people out there might go, oh, well, it should be easy. And to a certain extent, it is. It can occur with ease, but that doesn't mean it's always easy. In other words, don't get down on yourself because we talk about this and you try it tomorrow and you're like, oh, I can't seem to overcome, you know, because what you're in doing that, the idea is I need to overcome my entire past. And that's not necessarily the easiest thing. So what this is about is take one step in a different direction. You know, it's like changing the Titanic called your life so it doesn't hit the iceberg is not done with one pull of the steering wheel. It's done little by little by little by little. And so we need to allow ourselves to do that. And to your point, our point of view creates our reality. I mean, you know, what you're saying is a question you and I both know is true. Like where you put your attention, that's where your life is going to go. Where you put your energy, that's where your life is going to go. And, you know, people ask me, well, how do you know that's true? I'm like, have you ever heard of quantum physics? Whatever you're willing to be will be what shows up for you because we are creating reality. We think it's happening to us. And that's not what's going on. It's all the points of view that we bought that are this underlying foundation of what we consider reality that we don't even realize that we bought from mom, from dad, from school, from everything as we were growing up. And so we're not really taught, you know, to look in the direction of future number one, but also what choice can I make today to create the future I desire? And the thing is, the thing I try to let people know is two things. Number one, your point of view creates your reality. Reality does not create your point of view. So if you can change your point of view about something, if you get over the stress around something and you notice it shows up differently. So if you can change your point of view, you can change your reality. And then the other thing to really embrace is that what's true for us makes us feel lighter. A lie always makes us feel heavier. And the difficulty is we live in a world where we think the thing that we need to focus the most energy on is the thing that's the heaviest. But instead, if we would focus on the things that are the lightest, deal with the heavy if we have to change it, change our perspective, so the lie in it goes away, then we've got a totally different way of functioning because the more lightness you choose over time, the lighter your life gets.
So we did a thing and launched our first book, The Reinvention Formula, and became a Wall Street Journal bestseller in the first week of launch. The feedback is off the charts, and this book has 41 bite-sized chapters on everything to help you gain clarity, cultivate self-belief, unlock a bulletproof mindset, branding, entrepreneurship, mindset, falling in love, self-care, and everything in between. It's the number one vessel for all of your human development in one place, and it was published by the iconic Wiley Publishing, hitting number 4 for Wall Street Journal and becoming a USA Today bestseller as well. No big deal. It's very digestible. I had no ghostwriter, and it's jam-packed with juicy nuggets that will ignite that fire within. Head to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any way you buy books, snatch your copy today and activate your expansion. Juicy nuggets, you dig?
And I'm saying lighter, and it you know, may sound airy-fairy to people or what have you, but it's a fundamental awareness we all have. Like, if you're around somebody you really like, there's lightness there. If you're around somebody you don't like, there's heaviness. So it can be as simple as that, but taking those subtle awarenesses and clues and using them to recognize, am I actually on the track I would like to be on? Or am I on somebody else's track? Because if a lot of your life is heavy, you're not living your life. You're trying to make somebody else's right. You're trying to live what somebody else has as a point of view.
That was unbelievable. Straight up. I mean, could we be any more in alignment? This is so valuable for the audience. And I just want to repeat what you said. And everyone should grab the journal, grab your favorite pen, and run this back. Your point of view creates your reality. Your reality does not create your point of view. Is that what you said?
Yep, exactly.
I mean, that's like the secret.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. And so many people will hear this and they'll be, oh, I have to, okay. So I have to get myself in a good frequency and try to light up my soul now instead of waiting for once I get the thing, then I'll have a lit soul and so forth. And a lot of people hear you speaking right now, but they're like, well, how do I do that? How do I create a new point of reference or a new point of view that could manifest the good stuff that I actually desire?
Yeah. And here's the thing is I've created an entire body of work around exactly that because, you know, because that's the thing. And there's a few things that can be really helpful that are actually game changers if you embrace them, look from that place. One of which is like, sorry, my ADHD is going off,
let it rip.
And you're like, but I, this and this and this, you know, I'm like a big 6-year-old. I'm like, but one of the things that can be really helpful is to recognize that so much of what we are living that we think is the heaviness, the yuck, the stuck, the what the F, which rhymes better when you actually say the F word. And you know, the fear, the doubt, the loneliness, the sense of hopelessness, we're picking a lot of that up from the world around us because we are energetic beings. And basically what that means is if we short circuit it, somewhere around 98% of your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, and your judgments do not belong to you. You're picking them up from people around you. And I was at a place before I found and had a session of access consciousness. I was at a place where I would wake up depressed and unhappy. I was a chiropractor. I was starting my second practice. I was living in Santa Barbara, paradise, man. Awesome place to live. And I would drive to work every day and look left and right and be like, wow, am I the only unhappy person here? What is going on? I was unhappy for the better part of 3 years, even though I was doing every personal development modality I could. I would go to weekend workshops. I was doing stuff on finances and money and wealth creation. And none of it was landing for longer than a couple of days. And I got to a place and I was like, I'm done. I'm out of here. And I literally set a date to end my life. And not lightly, by the way, you know, I can make it, it sounds light now, probably 24 years later, but this was not a light decision. I just wanted to be happy. And I was seemingly unable to create it. So I had a session of access consciousness. I went into it depressed and suicidal, wanting to end my life. And I came out of it with a gratitude and a joy for being alive in an hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, holy shit, this is actually possible to go from this to this. And that was the change I'd always wanted to create. The change I always knew should be possible. I finally actually experienced it. And I went, okay, if I can have this experience, even as messed up as I am, then man, this is possible. Because if I can do it, anybody can do it, right? And one of the things that the lady said to me when I did the session is exactly this conversation. She said, 98% of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions are things you're picking up from other people. Oh, I said, okay, cool. What do you do about it? She said, ask this question. Who does this belong to? When you're in the middle of anything heavy, you go, who does this belong to? Or is this mine? And if it lightens up at all, that's your consciousness. That's your awareness letting you know that it's not yours or not all yours. And you, all you have to do is return it to sender. And I was like, okay, that sounds too simple, but okay, thank you for the tool. I woke up a couple days later after being on cloud.
Just real quickly, sorry to interrupt. You said return to sender, not center, correct?
Yeah, sender, exactly.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, do you ever notice when you're around happy people, you get happier?
Yes.
You know, when you're around successful people, you have more of a sense of being able to be successful, which 100%. Is why, of course, you know, it's one of the things we both tell people, surround yourself with people that are creating the life you would like to have, you know, and that you vibe with on that level. Mm-hmm. And so it's return to sender because you have no idea. Here's the weird part. We have no idea where all this shit is coming from. Okay. It's out there somewhere and we pick up on it, especially when we've tuned our frequency, you know, like growing up, if you grew up with parents who are angry, anytime anybody is angry and they're anywhere around you, you're sort of tuned to that frequency. So for me, it was depression and a sense of being pathetic, like depression and insecurity. Let's call it that. That's what I struggled with my whole life. So I woke up the next morning, or I woke up a couple mornings after being on cloud 10 after this particular session. And here was all of my depression, all of that stuff that made me want to end my life. And I was like, oh man, seriously, please, 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 no. And I look over and I'd written what she said, who does this belong to? And it was right by my clock. And I looked over and I saw it and I went, oh, who does this belong to? And it all went away. I went from this insecure place that I think a lot of us can relate to, even though most of us don't talk about it very often, this sense of hopelessness to, oh, I'm back. I'm happy again in half a second by asking, who does this belong to? And what I did in that moment, I looked back over my life. And one of the things I realized was every time my mom got more unhappy, I would get more unhappy. Every time my dad sort of withdrew because he had migraine headaches like 6 days a week, literally for a lot of my childhood, I would start feeling withdrawn from people. And I look back over my life and I went, oh my goodness, how much of all the things that I thought were all the crap in my head is not even mine. And that was a watershed moment for me personally. And I started using it with almost every session I did. And I started seeing people who had physical problems start changing because they and their bodies were trying to heal other people. And it was at that moment that I went, okay, this is a piece of information the entire world needs. We should have been given this, you know, from the time we could talk. Our parents should have said, hey, if you're aware of stuff, you're aware of something that's heavy, it may not be yours. The only way you're going to know is to ask this question. And if they would have said to us, it's going to feel just like yours. And in fact, the things that are not yours that you're picking up on or trying to take away from somebody else to make their life better are going to feel even more intense, because what's truly yours is just a lightness, because what's true for you always makes you lighter.
This is just golden. I mean, everyone, I encourage you to run that back and take some notes here. So this is great. And what a paradigm shift once you realize they're not ours. So return to sender, the negativity, the depression, all that stuff. Who is this? Who sent it?
Exactly. And so I asked the exact same question. I was like, hey, you know, it's such a paradigm shift that you hear it. Most people, they'll hear it the first time and go, no, that can't be. You know, you just kind of, it's like somebody saying, I just ate a car. And you're like, what? You know, it's like, it just does not compute. So I had the same thing. And after this experience, I was driving to work. I was driving to be my little chiropractic self, you know, and I had this anger, this rage come over me. And I was like, whoa. And I used my tool. I was like, who does this belong to? Once again, it lightened up. It didn't totally go away, though. It lightened up. And all of a sudden behind me is this person who comes at, like, I don't know, 100 miles an hour, like weaving in and out of traffic. And it had a similar vibe to it. Like, this person was pissed at something or someone. And I was like, okay, are you kidding me? We can pick up things from people driving down the road. Well, okay, if this is the case, it changes the game, because then the first place to go with the doubt, the fear, the sense of I can't accomplish my goals, I can't see the future, I'm a pile of crap, is who does that belong to? And when did I buy it as mine when it wasn't? And then we also have something called a clearing statement, which I don't know if we want to go into, but let's so the fullness of the, okay, cool. So we can do that too.
Let's go deeper.
The fullness of the tool is to ask, who does this belong to? For 3 days, to every thought, feeling, and emotion you have, every judgment, every yuck stuck, and what the F you have going on. And if it lightens up at all, it's not yours. Return it to sender with consciousness attached, and you don't have to know who it is. So don't even try to figure out who it is. The only awareness we're going for is, I'm in the middle of this. It lightens up even a tiny bit. Cool. At least some part of it is not mine. Return it to whoever it belongs to, because if it's not yours, you can't do anything about it. We all know, even though we don't want to, we can't heal anybody else, even if we try to take away their pain and suffering. And so we go, and if we do that, at the end of 3 days, there is this miraculous thing that happens. You walk around like you're in a walking, talking meditation, because you've finally broken the machine that makes you believe that everything you perceive actually belongs to you. So if you do it for 3 days, asking, who does this belong to every thought, feeling, and emotion, every yuck stuck point of view, and return it to sender when it lightens up. At the end of 3 days, you walk around like, I can walk through a city like New York and have absolutely no thoughts in my head.
That's great. So to be clear, or maybe it's up for interpretation, the sender is not our opponent or the ego or the devil, whatever the case may be. It might be someone else, like evil eye or karma or stuff like that, or maybe it's whoever we want it to be.
Well, it's, and I'm glad you're asking, because these are a lot of the questions that come up, you know, in giving this tool to people. And we have no idea. If we wanted to explore it, we could. But a lot of times we're like me driving down the road, picking it up from somebody, you know, or maybe we've got somebody. Here's the other weird part that nobody talks about is when people think about us, we get a download of their world. We get a download of a lot of things that are going on for them. Like, have you ever had the thing where you start, you know, you think about your friend and then they call?
Of course, all the time.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And the more in tune you are, the more that happens, because you're more aware of it and you're willing to allow that to be your reality. But notice next time, if you have some sort of shift of something, a shift of your vibe before they call. Because what happens is when people start thinking about us, you know, and in the position you and I are in, where you have all these people around the world that are, you know, interacting with us digitally or in person, you know, in this way, there's a lot of people having a lot of just interacting with you in whatever way. And you're going to be aware of a lot of what is going on for them. And here's the other thing about this, because to some people, you know, if your bent is more, look, I'm just here to create a more successful life. I don't want all this airy fairy energetic shit. It's like, yeah, but the way to truly have a successful life is to acknowledge the capacities that you have. Because in truth, this energetic awareness I'm talking about is exactly what every single successful business person uses, even though they don't call it that.
This is the good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going down the path now. And I used to always subscribe to the masculine energy, the grind, do, and hardest worker in the room. And to be clear, there's a season for that. But then I started, you know, not so long ago, I started taking a class at the Kabbalah Center. And I just started to really surrender to the fact that what's happening right now is just 1% of what's really happening. And
more
stuff is beyond our logic, the other 99%. And there's systems and we can tap in. And when I think of the system, I think of your approach right there. Like, okay, who does this belong to? And even just having that moment to acknowledge it, realize it's not yours, to send it away. And then all of a sudden you're in a higher state where you could reveal more light for yourself. I mean, this is really the needle mover for this stuff.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about, is having more light for yourself, because the brighter you shine, the more of the world you can have an impact on and contribute to.
Right.
You know, and we somehow miss that along the way. It's like one of the distinctions that I like to make with people is the distinction between real and true, because the definition of reality, if you will, is where two or more people align and agree on a point of view. If you go, hey, this is red, and I go, you're right, it's red. Well, guess what? It's red. But if you say it's red and I'm like, it's like chartreuse. So you're like, wait a minute, we don't have a reality there, right? And so we've made so many things real as though they are true for us, as though they are, and we make them a reality, but very few of them are true. If they don't make you light, they're not true for you. And that's also another game changer that often gets ignored. What's true for you always makes you lighter. You know, and I know I'm repeating myself here, but I could do that a few thousand times and people would begin to get it, because it's such a different concept. Because look at what we think doing the work is, whether doing the work is changing your financial situation or becoming more spiritually aware, or in my point of view, you know, more conscious. And we think that the doing the work is being willing to confront the heavy stuff and go through all the heavy stuff, and then we'll have lightness. But what if we can make the work a lot easier by acknowledging that all the heavy stuff is not necessarily, it's what we've made real, but it's not necessarily what's true for us.
You may have heard we have the fastest growing, dynamic, supportive, and strategy rich community in the space called the CLS Membership. We meet 3 Wednesdays a month virtually on different topics such as entrepreneurship, branding, money stories, building relationships, mindset, and a whole lot more. We have a private group where members collaborate and network, and we are joined by massive guest speakers who have personally hit me up on the side saying they have never felt an energy like the one we have inside our community. It's special and exclusive. If you're listening to this podcast, you're clearly a growth-minded, expansive cat. If you'd like to learn more, head to our website and check out the CLS membership. And also, get a little excited, you dig?
And if we could shed the 98% of points of view, and this is just one of the 8,000 tools we have in Access Consciousness. You know, this is, you know, like to some people, it'd be like, whoa, this is a deep rabbit hole. I'm like, we haven't even begun to climb into the rabbit hole at this point.
This is the appetizer.
Yeah, exactly. This is the amuse bouche.
This is so good. And there's a way that you're a very gifted communicator, so you make it very digestible and so forth. A couple of things that you just mentioned, and then I want to dive into all the unbelievable, exciting stuff you have going on now. You mentioned money and so forth. I know you talk about this often. What was a belief for you around money that you had to transform or overcome? And what is it now that helped you begin to really understand what money really is and attract a lot more of it?
First, I would say that, two that sort of go together. One, that I was bad if I had money. And number two, that people with money are evil. And I was having a conversation with the gentleman that founded Access Consciousness, my business partner. His name is Gary Douglas. He's an amazing, like, you know, one of those sages. You know, he's so brilliant and on such a different level. And when I very first met him, we were up shoveling horse shit at his horse stable in Santa Barbara. And I said, Gary, I want some help with my money problem. You know, he said, there's no such thing as a money problem. And I said this 3 different times and his response was the same each time. And I finally asked him a question. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, look, there's no such thing as a money problem. There's only a problem with what you're willing to receive. And I was like, oh, and I realized in that moment, I wasn't willing to receive people's judgments for having money, because I grew up around a lot of poor people who told me in their energy and verbally many times that rich people aren't happy. And also that I should be more like them rather than having all of these desires. You know, when you're a little kid and you're like, I want that. You know, man, one of the most terrible things we can do as parents is make them wrong for having that desire. There's a different way to navigate it, but we don't need to go there. And so I had the point of view that having money was wrong. People with money were evil. This is what I was told my whole life. And then he said one other thing. So he said, the lack of money is not a money problem. It's never a money problem. And my eyes got really big. I was like, but I've got a money problem. He's like, yeah, but it's not a money problem. The reason you haven't been able to solve it is because it's not a money problem. It's an issue with receiving and what you're willing to receive or not receive. And I went, whoa. And then he said one other thing That was for the first time in my life, it made me actually want to have money. He said, the purpose of money is to change people's realities for the greater. I was like, dude, that. Okay, I'm willing to have it now. And that was the beginning of changing changing my financial situation in a really dynamic way, because I finally had my compass, my GPS pointed in a direction that worked for me, which was, okay, if I'm willing to receive more, including people's judgments of me for having money, including whatever it is, then I can change this. So it's about receiving, but also the purpose of money is to change people's realities for the greater. Well, then I'd love to have a lot of money, because I'd like to change a lot of people's realities for the greater.
Yeah. An unbelievable perspective. And money is just it's not separate from it. It's a piece of energy, right? Like smog,
yeah,
and so forth. And so I never heard it articulated like that. That's really beautiful. It's not a money thing. It's our ability to be able to receive it. And there's something causing resistance or blocking that. But then all of a sudden you had that breakthrough of why you should receive it, is so that you can do great things that help a lot more people. Then all of a sudden it's like, I'm an idiot if I don't want more money.
Yeah, that. And then there was another thing, since you mentioned this, and it really isn't about semantics, it's about energetics, but I gotta mention it, because the word want, if you look in a dictionary prior to 1947, which would mean a long history before current day, the word want actually energetically means to lack. And so every time you say, I want more money, you're saying, I lack of more money. Every time you're saying, I want anything. And one of the things I've noticed in working with a lot of people who would be considered successful, you know, in business, financially, whatever, is the one word they do not have in their vocabulary is want. They say, I'm having this, I'll create this, or even better yet, which I suggest for all of us, what's it going to take to have this? What's it going to take to create this? What can I choose? What can I do? What can I be? And what would I have to choose, do, and be in order to actualize this? And that sounds a little sterile if you haven't been exposed to that word actualize yet. But in that, what I'm attempting to do is make it very succinct, but also very energetically congruent. Because one of the other places where we get really drawn off our game and we're putting a lot of energy out, but it doesn't seem to go anywhere, is because we're not energetically congruent with what we desire and what we're doing to get it, or changing to get it. And we're also not energetically congruent with our words. So we're kind of like, you know, word soup everywhere a lot of the time. And it's not about thinking though. It's about, when I say this, does that add to my life? Does that actually light up more of this possibility? And always asking a question will always add to more possibility, because when you ask a question, what you're able to do is you're able to dissolve the conclusions. And once again, we live in a world where we've been made wrong for asking questions. Like if you were a little kid in school and you asked too many questions, the teacher's like, well, you didn't do your homework, you didn't listen, you're obviously a bad student. It's like, no, I'm really curious, I really like to know how things work. So the extent to which we're willing to ask a question, like, what would it take to create this? What can I be? What can I choose? What can I do? What's possible that I've never considered here? What's possible with this? This thing looks like this and I'm not really loving it. What else is possible here that I've never considered? And that's where we open up and let the universe in. And the universe is like, oh, I got lots of possibilities. You just haven't been willing to receive them.
That's right. Because most people subscribe to a fixed mindset.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. And one thing that I teach often reminds me of what you just said is, you know, I encourage people to be around nice things, even though it's just the material world, because it puts them in that frequency that is accessible to them.
Totally.
And a lot of people say, I can't afford that. And I say, hold on a second. Let's change that to a question. How can I afford that? And just that switch is a little bit more expansive than contract. Yeah.
I love that. And I, here's the two other things on that note. A tool that can help when, because I used to say the exact same thing. I'm like, oh, I can't afford it, you know, and there's an interesting thing. I don't know how everybody else grew up, but I know in my family, there was this pride in poverty. There was this like long suffering point of view about, we are more right than other people because we do not need money to be happy. And I looked at you know, I actually had, I was driving in the car with my aunts and my mom. And we were driving in a little car that was like, I don't know, 14 years old or something, this old Buick, right? And we're driving somewhere and we get passed up by a convertible Mercedes. And I went, that's an awesome car. I want one of those one day. And my whole family turned to me and looked, you know, and my aunt said to me, Dane, those rich people are not happy. And here I was probably, I don't know, 12 or something. And I looked at the people in the car and my thought was, they couldn't be any less happy than you. You know, I was like, so I had bought all kinds of lies about this idea of the pride of poverty that a lot of us grew up with. I definitely grew up with that. And so there's this thing where somebody will say, I can't afford it. It's like they're falling on their sword. It's like, I cannot afford this. That makes me better than you, you know, yeah. Which we need to get over that shit because we are shooting ourselves in the foot. And in that, if instead, like you said, if we ask for what would it take, you know, how can I, what can I do, be and choose that will allow me to, and what else is possible here I've never considered? And once again, talking about Gary, I've gotten so much wisdom from this man. It's hard not to mention him. And I, you know, for me, I always like to credit where I get these nuggets, you know? And one of the things he said, cause I told him exactly that, he said, I've got an exercise for you. And at this time there wasn't all the online shopping. So, now you could probably do it online, but he said, let's do this. He said, go into the most expensive store in town where you think you can't afford the stuff. He said, and look all around at what you think you want, and then look at it and realize I may not be able to afford it today, but if I really desire it, I can put it on layaway. I may have take 10 years to pay it off, but I'm going to have it. And I went, okay. And then he went and tell me how much is in there that you desire. So I went into this store. It was a really nice high-end store in Santa Barbara. And I always felt like I didn't belong in a place like that. You know, I'm like, oh, they're going to know I'm poor. You know, it's like, so I walk sure. in trying to, you know, it's like if you get upgraded or if you, you know, fly business for the first time, you're like, they're going to know I'm an imposter. You know, and I, you know, I went in with that point of view. And I look around this store and I looked at all the stuff that previously, because I would window shop there and never had gone in. And I looked at all the stuff there and I went, oh, I'd like that and that and that. And then I went, okay, so I'm actually going to realize I can actually have this if I truly desire it and I will pay it off. And I'm actually going to do it today. I'm going to put down a deposit. There was one thing in there that I truly desired. All the rest I thought I desired because I thought I couldn't have it. And that was a reality that I grew up with. And I keep referring to the reality we grew up with, not to make my family wrong or not to make anybody wrong, but we all grew up with people. People have points of view. That's the defining element of people, unfortunately. Animals, on the other hand, no point of view at all, but we all grew up with people. And so a certain amount of the unquestioned limited points of view that we have, and also many of the expansive points of view that we have, we adopted before we could even talk. And so here we are, we're trying to get to it verbally, but it's pre-verbal, it's energetic. So an exercise like this addresses the energetics of it so you can have a different reality moving forward.
I mean, this is so good. I could talk to you all day about this.
Me too, with you. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, this is fantastic.
And thank you.
Yes, this is fantastic. There's so many places we could take this. One other intentional nugget I wanted to ask you is one of the other millions of cool concepts that you speak about is the concept of energy. And I know we touched upon it a little bit, but you talk about how it's not so woo-woo and how anybody can access it. I think this becomes very overlooked with people that are hearing what we're talking about right now, want to apply it, but they don't really understand energy and stuff. How
yeah.
do you illustrate that?
Well, first I want to say in working with hundreds of thousands of people in the last 24 years, a common theme that I found about the people who will stand up and raise their hand and say, I don't get energy, is 99% of the time they actually get it more than other people. But there was some event that occurred where they had something they were aware of that nobody else was, or they did something using a capacity they have and it was invalidated or they were made wrong and they went, or they experienced abuse or something like that, which is if you look at the energy of abuse, that's very intense, something to experience. And so what they did is they put up walls and barriers and go, no, this is too much for me. So I'm only saying that for the people out there that might get some lightness from that, because this, it's not that people don't get energy. We all do. It's why we really like being around some people and we really hate being around other people. It's the energetic interaction between us. You know, it's like if you go out in nature, you know, after you finally decompress and you feel like you can breathe, you know, it's got a sense of space to it. And that's a particular energy. It's like if you give somebody, like if you ever hug somebody and you just melt into them and it feels like, whoa, this is awesome. You know, that's one energy. And then if you hug somebody where it feels like hugging a rock on legs, you know, and they do the pat on the back to get away from you as soon as possible, you're like, whoa, that's a totally different energy. And so, and the reason for bringing it into this realm of energy, because then it applies to everything. It's no longer, I like this person or I don't. It's, there's something there energetically. It's no longer, I can create money or I can't. It's, there's something there energetically. And the thing is, we can change, like we can change our points of view, which is, like I said, you know, we have 8,000 tools or more in Access that are all about that. It's like, just like we can change our point of view, we can change the energetics of something, which primarily is our point of view about it and how we interact with it, far easier than we can trying to change the physical situation. So for example, let's say there's somebody you work with and you're kind of like this, and we all know what that's like, or somebody in a relationship with and you're at the point where you're kind of like this. Well, what you can do is you can change your side of it energetically. You can't change them. And we keep thinking the only way this is going to change is if we change them. No, the way this will change for you is if you change your point of view about them. And then here's the wonderful, bizarre part about it. How many times have we done that? We've changed our point of view about somebody and then they change.
All the time.
All the time, right? And so, and now let's expand that. This is what we're doing with the entire world. In other words, everything that we interact with, we have some form of energetic connection or interaction with. And so, you know, I do this stuff called Access Consciousness, and our definition of consciousness is where everything exists and nothing is judged. Or expand that to everything and everyone exists and no one and nothing is judged. And why is that? Because anytime you make a judgment, a decision or a conclusion about anyone or anything, nothing that doesn't match that judgment, that conclusion, that decision can come into your awareness and into your world. And so what we find that we're dealing with the difficulties we all have in any way, like let's say a difficulty with a person, what we find is the first element of what creates that is the judgments you have of the person. Also, the judgments they have of you. But also, here's the other weird part is we're aware, you know, which is why I'm glad we had the conversation of who does this belong to and the energetics of that. We're aware without realizing it of the judgments they have of themselves. And here's the weird part. People, and stop me if this seems too circuitous or...
I love every second.
Okay, cool. Thank you. So I will continue. Got permission from the guy. I'll continue. Okay. So here's the other thing is, so if you realize that, and if you can just go here a little bit, don't try to grok the whole thing. Just let whatever part comes into your world. Maybe listen later after a tequila or a martini or something.
Yup, that's correct. Billionaire Mark Cuban is motivating entrepreneurs daily with his Three Commas line of apparel, accessories, and coffee. Three Commas has the softest suede crew tees, a great line of accessories, and the best direct trade Colombian coffee. Join the Three Commas Club on Instagram at Three Commas or visit their website, threecommas.com, to learn more. Thank me later, you dig?
If we're aware of that, if we can get that concept for a moment, what we tend to do is we're aware of their judgments of them. And then we tend to deliver that judgment at them because that's what they expect. And that's energetic. So like, have you ever had somebody who was like really, you know, their point of view was I'm pathetic and you want to, and you want to be nice to them, but also you simultaneously kind of want to like kick them in the head, you know, and you're like, sure. What? Wait, I care for this person. Yeah. But when they're in that pathetic mode, you're like, I want to kick in the head. Well, we're picking up on their judgment of themselves. And there are some other elements of that. But if we can recognize that, what it allows us then is to take a step back and go, okay, how much of the way I'm trying to treat them is based on my awareness of how they expect to be treated because of their judgments of them. And now if I'm being me, if I'm being everything I can be, as magnanimous, as caring, as contributory as I can be, how would I like to treat them? And what's interesting is you may choose that, and then you'll see whether they're willing to receive that or not. And here we are back at the receiving thing that we talked about with money, because some people, you're kind to them and they're willing to receive it and they let it change the point of view they've been stuck in. Some people, you're kind to them and they go, you're lying. You always try to use and abuse me. That's because they're not willing to give up that point of view. They're using that judgment as a way of navigating their reality in a particular way, like I used to do when I rejected money. So everybody out there, you can tell they're like, dude, I'm drooling. What? Where did we go? You know, and that's where sorry, everyone, and you're welcome. Sorry, not sorry. I'm not sure. But that's where what happens is we have these conversations and we address these things and all of a sudden it goes. And then you're there and you're like, wait, what have we been talking about for the past 40 minutes? And that's when all of the reference points are starting to melt. And if you revisit it tomorrow, you listen to this conversation again tomorrow, you're going to hear totally different things that you didn't hear today. Part of which is what we're doing is we're melting those fixed judgmental reference points. And so you'll listen again tomorrow and you'll be like, whoa, I didn't hear that yesterday. Yeah, exactly. That's because you're more you showing up hearing the conversation. And if we further that just a little bit more, one other element of that is if we can recognize this with other people that we're aware of their judgments and we treat them the way they expect to be treated oftentimes, unless we're willing to take a step back. Well, how much are our judgments of us informing other people of exactly how to treat us?
Yeah.
And if we didn't have those, then you can interact person to person, because what happens is these judgments and these points of view create little tiny peoples that we look at the world through thinking that's reality, which is why I made the distinction between real and true, because it's not what's true. It's what we have judged into existence, usually having learned that from others in our past as a way of judging reality into existence, just like mom and dad and everybody else.
This is one of the most fun and intoxicating conversations I've ever had. Straight up.
Awesome.
And you're talking about interacting with people, but this goes energetically and vibrationally to things too, right? Like the way that you behave energetically towards money, money will decide if it wants to come to you or not, per se.
Yep.
And I'll give you an example, if I'm being vulnerable. I have an employee, and this employee kind of behaves a certain way for quite a while. And as a result, or whatever, I would kind of go into interactions insinuating or expecting a type of outcome based upon our previous interactions. All of a sudden this week, I decided to do what you just said, and probably because of the inner work and so forth. And I just started behaving a little bit differently going into interactions. And then that person was feeding off my energy and their response was unbelievable. And all of a sudden, there's a little bit of a new dynamic that's been created. And
awesome. It's
because I changed my energy going into the interactions and I was aware of it. And it totally worked.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we look at, it's interesting because in a work relationship or whatever, a lot of times we will think something is just a small element of our lives. It doesn't affect us very much, but interactions like that are our lives, you know, us interacting with everything. And when that starts to open up, it no longer becomes a drag. It now becomes a contribution to you energetically, but also to the business, of course.
Correct.
You know, and so if we went through our lives looking for these places, and I'll tell you where they exist, anywhere there's a heavy interaction with you and anything.
Yeah.
Once again, what's true makes you lighter, a lie makes you heavier. It's because of the lie there, and judgment is always a lie, which is another like mind-blowing thing, because most people think judgment is how you navigate so you can choose what's right and never what's wrong. No, what if there's no such thing as right and wrong? What if the only thing that is relevant is that our choice creates, and it'll create this, it'll create this, but our choice is creative. Judgment doesn't determine choice, but we try to believe that it does. And if we're beyond that, we have different choices, like you with your employee.
Yeah. This is extraordinary dialogue. This is unbelievable. Before we land the plane, I have another really cool question to ask you real quickly. Tell us about the awesome stuff that you have going on right now. And what are you personally most excited about right now?
Oh, man, I'm excited.
Me, right?
I'm excited about so many things. Oh, goodness. So one of the things that I recently did, I called the Real Great Reset. And it was a 15-day program, ended up being over 16 hours. And there were 15,000 of us that went through this thing. Okay. And it's kind of like so many things I try to convey energetically. I feel like unless you were there, it's not necessarily something, but anyway, I did this because I wanted to make it accessible to the world. Okay. And over those 15 days, after the 15 days, actually, because I did it in late December, after the 15 days, I got literally hundreds of messages from people saying, thank you so much. That normal year-end stress around money is gone. I am creating. I'm so looking forward to 2024. And that for me, like with you, it's like, that's mother's milk right there. That's the breath of life right there. Being able to contribute something through whatever we've gone through that allows other people to become greater. Dude, there is no gift. And so that thing, I made available to the world for $15. Okay. Now, normally to get 16 hours with me is many thousands of dollars. Okay.
I said many thousand dollars to get access to you like that.
Yeah. And I specifically did this for the target of going on enough of a journey with people and covering enough aspects and giving them enough tools to use in the trenches of life so that their life would never be the same. And I hope I don't sound arrogant when I say that. I truly have a gratitude, you know, for this being able to be available, but also for being gifted access to this 24 years ago and expanding on it in the last 24 years. So that is one of the things I'm really excited about, is the change that I've seen from that. And then for me, one of the other things is we created a resort in Costa Rica. I was there, you know, when we did the Facebook Live the first time, and that is finally coming online and opening. And I'm thrilled with that, but I'm also thrilled with one other element of what I've been talking to people about, which is relájate. Okay. Which is relax, because we have all learned that the harder we work, the further we're going to get. And what I've realized is we function from so much pressure. We're like an overpressurized balloon. And if you know anything about osmosis, nothing can come into that balloon until the pressure diminishes. And we are very much like that energetically. And so what I've been talking to people about lately is, let's do creation and actualization, which is where things show up, from relaxation. And the interesting part about that is that also is a game changer, in that a lot of people be like, no, that's not possible. I'm like, I know, just go with me here. Let's experience it a little bit. Because what I've noticed is we, you know, those of us, like you were saying, I'm the hardest working guy in the room. And like you said, there's a place for that. Okay. And you will get shit done always. In other words, ain't nobody ever going to stop you. Okay. Cause you won't stop yourself. So that's amazing. Now, how also, while knowing that and acknowledging that as a gift, because here's the other part is that is a gift. That is a capacity you have. That is a brilliance. And anybody who says, no, you shouldn't, no, is not recognizing the gift. So what we start with is acknowledging our brilliance, acknowledging our gift, and then let's open it up a bit so we don't have such solid walls and structures that we try to fit everything into. And where we don't have to work so hard, but where the energy that we put out is creating far greater returns because we're willing to relax and also receive. And one of the truths of the universe is ask and you shall receive, which is interesting that it seems like a religious thing. It's not. My point of view is they hid it in the Bible so nobody would see it or believe it, but that's just a joke. But literally, if you look at it, the life you have right now is based on what you asked for before. You know, it's a sum total of your requests and your choices before this moment. And if we look from that place, then we don't have to judge the life we have. We just have to recognize if I chose it, I can choose something different to create the future.
This is unbelievable. This is the stuff right here. Yeah. And we'll put all this stuff in the show notes. People can still get involved in all that stuff and obviously your books. I, by the way, I love the name, The Great Reset. So
thank you.
So appropriate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted, you know, they have they're talking about The Great Reset and they've got all kinds of points of view out there.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing we need to realize is when we align and agree with those really solid points of view, we're stuck in somebody else's crap pile. Mm-hmm. That's not us. When it's heavy and we go, oh yeah. And then you try to fight against it or get angry about it. It's like, you're not contributing anything to you or anybody when you're going down into that heaviness. Pull back, stop, and then ask, okay, what's actually true for me? How do I get to lightness again? But so I called it the real great reset because I wanted to make a distinction. I'm like, guys, there is a reset going on if you choose. There is a possibility for doing things in such a different way now that most people, you know, I've been on the front lines of this. And once again, I don't say that from arrogance, just from as my job, you know, right. I've been on the front lines of this and exploring a different way of creation that also involves the miracles, but also is not airy fairy. You know, you need to wear tie dye, smell like patchouli and live in the forest. You know, like it's no, man. And us here now, let's create the things we desire, including the money that will allow us to love our lives and be a contribution. And being in the position that I uniquely find myself in, it's like there are ways of doing things now that will make our lives so much easier. And most people don't realize it because simultaneously with more possibilities opening up for those of us that are willing to choose it, simultaneously with more ease opening up, if we're willing to choose it, you also have this segment of the world that is trying to make everything seem heavy and dense and intense and polarized and separate and right and wrong and all of that. You don't have to dive into this and fight it. You can just acknowledge it and go, oh, interesting. Okay, cool. What would I like to create? With more of us going, okay, interesting. I'm not even going to dive into the heaviness. If somebody is having a problem, I will do everything I can to create more lightness and contribute to them. But what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to focus on the lightness of my life and creating my life, recognizing that the lighter I am, the more quote unquote successful I am, and the more energy I've got then and to contribute to others. And so it's the opposite. You know, one of the phrases we have in Access is everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. Nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. And basically it's like that because we've been taught that if I make my life about me, then I'm going to exclude others. No, when you make your life about you, you're never going to exclude others. The people listening to this podcast or watching or that you're not wired that way. Other people may be. But you're not, well, you would not be listening to this podcast, especially this long, especially this far in, especially with me as the guest. Okay. and Craig is the host, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if when you get greater, you don't contribute to other people. So the greatest gift we can give this world is becoming everything we are and truly following our dreams. And people, you know, my elevator pitch for Access, they're like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I do something called Access Consciousness. And it's about using the consciousness that is already within you to create the miraculous life and living you always knew should be possible that you haven't been able to create.
I relate to your story so much, brother. First of all, I love you. Thank you for your resonance.
Today. That is mutual. Thank you.
Yes, and we're going to do so much more together. I relate so much to your story because before I reinvented myself and tapped into finally my mission and all this stuff, I was on Wall Street for 13 years. And I just, when you were painting a visual earlier about like driving in the car and thinking about how unhappy you were, and I wasn't, you know, diagnosed depressed, but that's what it sure felt like to me. And it was dark and I was drinking more than I like to admit because I was just trying to escape. Oh, man. And now to be here and we're just getting warmed up in the grand scheme of things, but be so connected to your mission, right? And to be that channel where you help other people reveal their light. And as you do that with the right consciousness, more light is revealed for you. And whether it's money, abundance, relationships, it just never stops. But you have to have access consciousness.
That. And really, it is so, you know, I don't have words. It's just, it's like, you speechless. Know, yeah, truly, that's truly. Awesome.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. We'll land the plane with one last minute of rapid fire, fun questions, maybe one or two word answers. You ready to get nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Let's have some fun. Favorite movie?
Avatar. The first one.
Great one. Second one was good too.
Yeah, it was the first one was magic. The second one was great special effects.
Fair enough. Your last meal on Earth would be?
Oh, Estella food. Estella is my house manager. She makes the best Mexican food in the world.
Sounds scrumptious.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite guilty pleasure?
Yeah, all of them. My life is a guilty pleasure.
That's the weirdest answer I ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, and I don't have any guilt about it, by the way.
That's awesome. I love it. Favorite workout?
Oh, X3.
Favorite book, not including one of yours?
It's been so long. Oh, this is going to be a weird answer. Stranger in a Strange Land.
Not familiar. It's good.
I highly recommend everybody. It's if you're vibing, if you're liking this vibe, listen, get it on audiobook or read it.
Is it fiction or nonfiction?
It's fiction.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then we'll get real deep for the finale. Favorite musician?
Favorite musician? Oh, there was a guy. His name was Harlem Slim. I saw him before I lived in Houston. And this guy played blues that was, oh man, that guy.
Okay, done, sold. With all the awesome stuff that you just mentioned that you're up to, we'll put it all in the show notes to support. How can everybody get involved? Is there a place that they can go to find out more and go deeper with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to drdanehere.com. And there's something, goodness, I have so many, sorry, my ADHD goes off at this point too, trying to describe things, right? I created a series of audios called You Got This. And one of them is Waking Up Miraculously. And that's a gift to everybody. So if you go to my website and search on that, check it out. And I have people tell me they listen to it every day, sometimes a few times a day. And it does that thing, you know, when we first started where you said, what are the non-negotiables when you wake up? Mm-hmm. It basically walks you through your own. But so you always start the day going, I am so ready. Let's go. No matter what happened yesterday.
Love it. This was incredible. Thank you so much. Hang up for one sec. I'll connect to you after. I want you to know the definition of point of view, awareness, and unbelievable energy. I could personally guarantee your best is yet to come. Keep on spreading your wings and leaving your mark on this world. So much love and respect to you. Thank you so much for stopping by and dropping these priceless, juicy nuggets today.
Thank you, my friend. Truly an honor and a pleasure.
That was unbelievable. I feel like I'm high as a kite.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
That.
What's your favorite guilty pleasure? All of them. There's too many more things here. Let's stay connected.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be my pleasure.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.